Chapter 7 of Humility. Brethren, the Holy Scripture crieth to us, saying, Everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Since therefore it saith this, it showeth us that every exaltation is a kind of pride. The prophet declareth that he guardeth himself against this, saying, Lord, my heart is not puffed up, nor are my eyes haughty. Neither have I walked in great matters, nor in wonderful things above me. What then? If I was not humbly minded, but exalted my soul, as a child that is weaned is towards his mother, so shalt thou reward my soul. Hence, brethren, if we wish to reach the greatest height of humility, and speedily to arrive at that heavenly exaltation to which ascent is made in the present life by humility, then mounting by our actions, we must erect the ladder which appeared to Jacob in his dream, by means of which angels were shown to him, ascending and descending. Without a doubt, we understand this ascending and descending to be nothing else but that we descend by pride and ascend by humility. The erected ladder, however, is our life in the present world, which, if the heart is humble, is by the Lord lifted up to heaven. For we say that our body and our soul are the two sides of this ladder, and into these sides the divine calling hath inserted various degrees of humility, or discipline, which we must mount. The first degree of humility, then, is that a man always have the fear of God before his eyes, shunning all forgetfulness, and that he be ever mindful of all that God hath commanded, that he always considereth in his mind how those who despise God will burn in hell for their sins, and that life everlasting is prepared for those who fear God. And whilst he guardeth himself evermore against sin and vices of thought, word, deed, and self-will, let him also hasten to cut off the desires of the flesh. Let a man consider that God always seeth him from heaven, that the eye of God beholdeth his works everywhere, and that the angels report them to him every hour. The prophet telleth us this when he showeth God, thus ever present, in our thoughts, saying, The searcher of hearts and reins is God. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of men. And he saith, Thou hast understood my thoughts afar off, and the thoughts of a man shall give praise to thee. Therefore, in order that he may always be on his guard against evil thoughts, let the humble brother always say in his heart, Then I shall be spotless before him, if I shall keep myself from iniquity. We are thus forbidden to do our own will, since the Scripture saith to us, And turn away from thy evil will. And thus, too, we ask God in prayer that his will may be done in us. We are, therefore, rightly taught not to do our own will when we guard against what Scripture saith. There are ways that to men seem right, the end whereof plungeth into the depths of hell. And also, when we are filled with dread at what is said of the negligent, they are corrupted and become abominable in their pleasure. But as regards desires of the flesh, let us believe that God is thus ever present to us, since the prophet saith to the Lord, Before thee is all my desire. We must, therefore, guard thus against evil desires, because death hath his station near the entrance of pleasure, whence the Scripture commandeth, saying, Go know after thy lusts. If, therefore, the eyes of the Lord observe the good and the bad, and the Lord always looketh down from heaven on the children of men, to see whether there be anyone that understandeth or seeketh God. And if our actions are reported to the Lord day and night by the angels who are appointed to watch over us daily. We must ever be on our guard, brethren, as the prophet saith in the psalm, that God at no time see us gone aside to evil and become unprofitable, and having spared us in the present time, because he is kind and waiteth for us to be changed for the better. Say to us in the future, these things thou hast done, and I was silent. The second degree of humility is, when a man loveth not his own will, nor is pleased to fulfill his own desires, but by his deeds carrieth are that word of the Lord which saith, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. It is likewise said, self-will hath its punishment, but necessity winneth the crown. The third degree of humility is, that for the love of God a man subject himself to a superior, in all obedience, imitating the Lord, of whom the apostle saith, he became obedient unto death. The fourth degree of humility is, that if hard and distasteful things are commanded, nay, even though injuries are inflicted, we accept them with patience and even temper, and not grow weary or give up, but hold out, as the scripture saith, he that shall persevere unto the end shall be saved. And again, let thy heart take courage, and wait thou for the Lord. And showing that a faithful man ought even to bear every disagreeable thing for the Lord, it saith, in the person of the suffering, for thy sake we suffer death all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, and secure in the hope of the divine reward, they go on joyfully, saying, but in all these things we overcome because of him that hath loved us. And likewise in another place the scripture saith, thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us by fire as silver is tried. Thou hast brought us into a net. Thou hast laid afflictions on our back. And to show us that we ought to be under a superior, it continueth saying, thou hast set men over our heads. And fulfilling the command of the Lord by patience, also in adversities and injuries. When struck on the one cheek, they turn also the other. The despoiler of their coat, they give their cloak also. And when forced to go 1 mile, they go two. With the Apostle Paul, they bear with false brethren and bless those who curse them. The fifth degree of humility is, when one hideth from his abbot none of the evil thoughts which rise in his heart, or the evils committed by him in secret, but humbly confesseth them. Concerning this, the scripture exhorts us, saying, reveal thy way to the Lord, and trust in him. And it saith further, confess to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the prophet likewise saith, I have acknowledged my sin to thee, and my injustice I have not concealed. I said I will confess against myself my injustice to the Lord, and thou hast forgiven the wickedness of my sins. The sixth degree of humility is, when a monk is content with the meanest and worst of everything, and in all that is enjoined him holdeth himself as a bad and worthless workman, saying with the prophet, I am brought to nothing, and I know it not. I am become as a beast before thee, and I am always with thee. The seventh degree of humility is, when not only with his tongue he declareth, but also in his innermost soul believeth, that he is the lowest and vilest of men, humbling himself and saying with the prophet, but I am a worm and no man, the reproach of men and the outcast of the people. I have been exalted and humbled and confounded. It is good for me that thou hast humbled me, that I may learn thy commandments. The eighth degree of humility is, when a monk doeth nothing but what is sanctioned by the common rule of the monastery and the example of his elders. The ninth degree of humility is when a monk withholdeth his tongue from speaking, and keeping silence doth not speak until he is asked. For the scripture showeth that in a multitude of words there shall not want sin, and that a man full of tongue is not established in the earth. The tenth degree of humility is when a monk is not easily moved and quick for laughter, for it is written, the fool exalteth his voice in laughter. The 11th degree of humility is that when a monk speaketh, he speak gently and without laughter, humbly and with gravity, with few and sensible words, and that he be not loud of voice, as it is written, the wise man is known by the fewness of his words. The 12th degree of humility is when a monk is not only humble of heart, but always letteth it appear also in his whole exterior to all that see him, namely, that the work of God in the garden, on a journey, in the field, or wherever he may be, sitting, walking, or standing, let him always have his head bowed down, his eyes fixed on the ground, ever holding himself guilty of his sins, thinking that he is already standing before the dread judgment seat of God, and always saying to himself in his heart what the publican in the gospel said, with his eyes fixed on the ground, Lord, I am a sinner, and not worthy to lift up mine eyes to heaven. And again with the prophet, I am bowed down and humbled exceedingly. Having, therefore, ascended all these degrees of humility, the monk will presently arrive at that love of God, which being perfect, casteth out fear. In virtue of this love, all things which at first he observed, not without fear, he will now begin to keep without any effort, and, as it were, naturally by force of habit, no longer from the fear of hell, but from the love of Christ, from the very habit of good and the pleasure in virtue. May the Lord be pleased to manifest all this by his Holy Spirit in his laborer now cleansed from vice and sin.